BBC News with Sue Montgomery. Switzerland's biggest bank, UBS, is to take over its troubled rival, Credit Suisse, in a deal aimed at stemming a financial crisis that's threatening to spread around the world. Regulators were anxious to complete the takeover before markets reopened on Monday. Here's Jonathan Josephs.
An emergency weekend takeover of a bank as big as Credit Suisse is an extraordinary moment for the global financial system. As recently as November, it was deemed to be one of the 30 most important in the world. Tuesday's admission of material weakness in its financial reporting controls seems to have been a setback too far for investors, who already had concerns after a series of major problems in recent years. UBS's takeover, after the intervention of the Swiss authorities, is aimed at restoring confidence in the financial system more broadly, with other US banks already suffering in recent days. Whether it succeeds will only be known in the days and weeks ahead.
In the wake of the Credit Suisse deal, the US Federal Reserve and other leading central banks have announced coordinated action to ease strain on financial markets. The measures will make dollars available via what are known as swap lines on a daily basis. Previously, such operations between central banks were conducted weekly. The move is also backed by the Swiss National Bank, the Bank of Japan, the Bank of England and the Bank of Canada. It will take effect on Monday. An extradition hearing is taking place in Australia in the case of a former US Marine pilot accused of helping to train members of the Chinese military. Last year, Australian authorities approved a request by the US to extradite Daniel Duggan, who denies the charges. From Sydney, here's Phil Mercer.
The former Marine airman is an Australian citizen who's renounced his US citizenship. He denies breaking any law and has said he was training civilian, not military, pilots. Mr. Duggan was arrested last October and has recently been moved from a remand centre in Sydney to a maximum security prison. The Australian government approved a request for his extradition almost 3 months ago. A magistrate in Sydney will decide if he's eligible to be sent to the United States to face criminal charges.
Iran says Saudi Arabia has invited President Ebrahim Raisi for an official visit, just over a week after the two regional rivals agreed to re-establish diplomatic relations. Tehran said President Raisi welcomed the invitation, which had come in a letter from the Saudi King Salman, but there's been no comment from Saudi Arabia. Tehran and Riyadh agreed to reopen their embassies, despite years of disagreement on Yemen, Syria and other issues. BBC News. Montenegro's long-serving president Milo Djukanovic will face a runoff election next month after no candidate secured 50% of the first-round votes. His challenger is a pro-Western economist, Jakov Milatovic, from the Europe Now party. Here's our Balkans correspondent Guy Deloney.
Milo Djukanovic might be on top for now, but the first-round results may worry the man who's dominated Montenegro's politics for more than three decades. He polled just 35% of the vote. That's almost 20% lower than the 2018 election, when Mr. Djukanovic secured a first-round victory. His runoff opponent will be Jakov Milatovic of the centrist Europe Now party. He's already received a boost from the third-placed candidate. Democratic Front leader Andrija Mandic has called on his supporters to vote for Mr. Milatovic in the second round.
An official in the Central African Republic says nine Chinese nationals have been killed during an attack that also left two others wounded. A local mayor in Bambari, more than 200 kilometres northeast of the capital Bangui, said they were working at a Chinese-run gold mine. Ecuador's state oil company has triggered a clause that exempts it from fulfilling its contractual obligations following 3 weeks of protests outside an oil field in the Amazon forest region. They accuse the company of failing to provide clean water and new houses in the area. Petroecuador says the roadblocks have affected oil production and increased costs, as they're having to use helicopters to move staff. Exit polls from Kazakhstan's snap parliamentary election suggest a clear victory for the party linked to President Kasym-Jomart Tokayev, but the estimated 53% vote for Amanat is well down previous election performances. Independent candidates were allowed to contest the election, but opposition parties were barred. BBC News.